Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. Thank you for joining us tonight. As most of you know, I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, are my two hosts, Nicole and Kim. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same mistakes in their relationships with each other. Kim's a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She will share the secrets that she's heard men utter about love, relationships, and marriage. And she's heard a lot of this while she's been a topless dancer in a gentleman's club. And now that she works in a hair salon, she's also learning a lot about the world. This is a call-in show, and we'd love to hear from you. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. And before we start the show, I just want to remind you that we'll be at the book review in Huntington this week. That's at 313 New York Avenue in Huntington. It's right at the corner of New York Avenue and Main Street. There's a bookstore called The Book Review. I'll be doing a workshop with Ben Paris, author of Weight of Aquitaine, which is a sci-fi sort of fantasy book. And the two of us are doing a topic called Soulmate Love, Reincarnated, Lifetime After Lifetime, Fact or Fantasy. Anyway, tonight's show should be fun. It's what women want. I wonder if we know what we want, but I think we're trying to learn. And I know we've been called the mysterious sex, and men have been saying since the dawn of time that you can never really understand women, so why bother trying? Are we really all that hard to figure out? Well, tonight we're going to try to figure that out, and we're going to use some of our own personal experience. Of course, I've looked up on websites what people are saying they wanted, and people have been emailing me today, women, mostly telling me what they don't want. Rather than what they do want. So I don't know if Kim or Nicole have some ideas here. They've been thinking about this. Would either one of you like to let me know what you want? And remember, Nicole's a lesbian, so we really want to hear her viewpoint. She should know all about women.
You know what, yeah. Cindy? I have to say, I really feel bad for guys. I really, really do feel bad for heterosexual men who attempt to understand women. I really do, because you know what? I am a woman, and I still don't get women.
Well, you know, if you're, I did a talk show on radio for a website called Love Her Right, and those two women are both lesbians, and, you know, they're sharing what they know about how to love each other right with heterosexual men. And, you know, you would think it's a website of lesbians, and they would mostly have lesbians listening, but they're not. They're getting a lot of men listening. So I think that's...
Yeah, I can't understand why.
I mean, they're all trying to figure us out. Now, let's start with Nicole. In a relationship with another woman, what is it that you want from her, and what is it that you need?
What do I want?
The main thing. Start with number one on the list.
Number one, honesty.
Honesty.
100% unadulterated honesty. You know, I don't want anybody to feel like they have to lie to me because they don't want me to get upset or mad or because they're going to hurt my feelings. You know what? Sometimes feelings get hurt. Sometimes people get angry. You know, I would rather you be 100% honest with me than have me find out that you lied to me later.
Right.
You know, I might not like, and I tell people this, you know, off the cuff. You know, as soon as I'm even attempting, you know, to be in a relationship or to even see if there's even potential for it to get to that stage, I say flat out, you are not going to like everything that I have to say, but you'll appreciate the fact that I'm saying it.
And you know, it's funny, when I was doing the research with this, I found out something very interesting, that women wanted honesty was like right on the top of the list, and what men...
But nobody wants to be honest.
And what men have figured out is that when they get caught doing something bad, say cheating on a woman, and, you know, I just had a client today, and of course, he got caught, like, inviting, you know, women from Craigslist to have sex with, okay? And at first he was lying, saying no, as he's done for the last 15 years, and, you know, old souls, people who have had many lifetimes often don't see evil, and you can lie right to our face, and we go, okay, you didn't do it. Well, anyway, the proof was too concrete. So he, quote-unquote, came clean. Now, I'm a psychic, so when she said, well, he told me he only did it once, you know, I had looked at the cards and I said, once. If he did it 100 times, you know, he did it once. He did it 100 times or more. And he, what he figured out is once he got caught and she, he, let's, like, come clean and say we did something. And because women say, okay, you told me, now I can forgive you, men think it's okay to do these things. If they get caught, they'll tell the truth. And this way they'll be forgiven. And I think what we as women have to start doing is, when we catch them in this stuff, understand they're only going to tell us one gazillionth of what they actually did. And if we want honesty, we're going to have to, when we figure out someone's been lying to us, maybe we have to do something about that. So, again, we want honesty, and when men do something, sometimes they use it as an excuse to come clean in half-truth ways. And that was a pretty shocking discovery online because I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we are. We want honesty so bad, and then we forgive them because they've told us supposedly the truth.
Well, Cindy, I would have to say that, I mean, in my experience, in my personal experience, I'm not going to classify that all women do this or that all men even do this. But a lot of people, I think, want other people to be honest, but they don't want to be honest themselves. You know, and honesty is something that requires, I mean, we were talking about grieving and we were talking about forgiveness, you know. I mean, honesty requires that you have the ability to forgive. You know, don't say that you want something if you're not going to be able to allow yourself to forgive it, you know.
And
it means
again,
you have to accept the truths that you're hearing, period. Good, bad, or indifferent, you need to accept those truths, whether you like what they are or not. And then you have to move from there. But you can't keep rehashing the past, and you can't keep throwing, you know, the fact that somebody, you know, was honest with you in their face, because what's going to wind up happening is you're going to get the exact opposite effect. They're not going to wind up being more honest with you. They're going to start to lie to you just because, you know, you're being malicious and vindictive about it.
Right. So, again, in the laws of attraction, if you want someone to be honest, then you would have to work on your own honesty. Anything that you want in a mate, you have to work on. You know, if you want a person of integrity and you're not a person of integrity, you're not certainly not going to draw that kind of person in. So, okay, we've got at the top of the list honesty, that we want honesty. I haven't heard from Kim. She's very quiet. Kim, did you have something?
And she has the evil laugh going, Cindy, which means that her thoughts
I'm,
are
brewing. I'm kind of listening, and I'm not a very judgmental person. I'm very observant. Everybody's perception of honesty is something different from everybody else's. Now, in my experience with men and in my own personal experience in my relationships, honesty is something you come clean about, something that somebody caught you in. Also, I want to remind people that just because the other person doesn't know doesn't mean it's not a lie.
It's a lie of omission.
It is a lie of omission, and I often chuckle at that. You know, well, I came clean, but did you say this and this and this? Well, no. Okay, I lied. But I came clean about this particular point. And I say, well, basically you're only really lying to yourself. And, Nicole, to your rebuttal on the honesty thing, if I am being honest and someone is berating me and disrespecting me on my honesty, do I really want to be with somebody like that? That's the question that I want to ask myself in general. If I am honest with you and you don't like the honest opinion and you are just totally disrespecting me about it, I don't know if I would want to be with somebody that's disrespectful at the same time. Yes, honesty is
Honesty,
number
and, well,
one.
You know what, you just said respectful. That was on the list. Now, remember, I went to several websites to check. Honesty was on the top of the list, and respectful. Women want men to be respectful of them. So without even knowing it, you hit on a very key point. We want men to be respectful of us.
And I always say, you know, I don't think that I am the ordinary woman. And after the last 2 years of my life, I laugh because I know exactly what I don't want in, you know, my past relationships that I've gone through and just even the small dates I've been on. It gives me perspective on what I don't want. And it allows me to figure out what I do want. And again, what you had said, that if you can be all the things that you want in another person, then you'll be able to draw that to you.
Right. So when we write this list or when we're writing down what we want, if you put honest and you respectful, then in the world you have to be more honest and more respectful of others. And so we've got two things that are important. Another one that was that women want clear, open, responsible
communication
and someone to listen. Sometimes we don't necessarily want someone to give us advice. Sometimes we just need them to listen. And listening means you're not listening while you've got your iPod, you know, glued to your retina. You're not listening while you're emailing. You're not listening while you're watching the news or the ball game, whatever. You're actually taking some time to hear what the person has to say. Because what's going on in this world is it's really just very distracting world. And, you know, in the old-fashioned houses, if you see ones built, you know, 150 years ago, there's many sitting rooms, little sitting rooms where people sat and talked or they played a game or they played cards or they entertained their gentleman caller, whatever it was. But it gave us a space to communicate. A lot of times the television's always on, so people aren't really, really communicating. So I think listening and communicating is up there. Do you agree with that?
Actually, Nicole and I talked about this evening, and I said, you know, I would like someone to communicate with me, but a lot of people really don't know how. A lot of people don't exactly know what they're feeling, when they're feeling it. I have the wonderful opportunity of knowing every feeling that I'm going through at every moment of my life, and a lot of people really don't know who they are to be able to communicate with security and just knowing who they are.
Okay, so if we want somebody to listen to us well, and we want to be good communicators, I would say we have to know ourselves. And we have to be willing to talk from the heart and the soul. As a playwright, it took me years to understand what good dialogue was. You know, it's not fancy, beautiful words. It's certainly not talking about what you ate for breakfast. It's getting the dialogue that's coming from deep within the character, something from their heart and soul. So if we could stop sometimes just small talking, I know, you know, my mother's at the hour of her death, and never in my entire life, and I'm 56 and she's 86, have I ever had any conversation with her that wasn't small talk. And that's really sad. So if you find that you're only talking about small talky things that don't matter, you're really distracting from knowing yourself and talking about the real issues. So we have to know ourselves. And I think if we become less judgmental and more tolerant, people will tell us the truth and want to communicate with us. That's why a lot of people come to me for tarot card reading, because they know it's a safe place to tell the truth, to be told the brutal truth, because that's what they're paying for, that's what they want to hear. And they talk from their heart and soul for a tarot card reading. They don't chit-chat, they don't bullshit me. They really talk from a deep place. So think about that. If we want people to talk with us, we have to be less judgmental and more tolerant.
Well, Cindy, I do agree that we have to be less judgmental and more tolerant. But you know what? Like, what a lot of people, I think, fail to recognize is that there's a difference between talking and the art of conversation.
Absolutely.
You can talk about anything that you want to talk about. You can talk about something that you know a lot about. You can talk about something that you don't know a lot about. You know, you can learn from one another, but there is an art to conversation. And, you know, Kim is one of the people, one of the very few people in my life that is very, very open and honest. You know, I mean, she's my best friend, you know, and she's a very, very open and honest person. She says things, you know, for the most part, you know, as they are and everything else. But part of the art of the conversation that we have is not only listening to the words that she's saying, but listening to the words that she's not saying and reading in between the lines.
Well, that's as they write called subtext. It took me a long time to realize that, you know, there is a subtext to everything someone says. They're only telling you half, and you have to look beneath it. And as a
well, you know, it's not that Kim only tells me half.
We
you know, because
this,
Kim is extremely open and honest. You know, but what it is that she's expressing something to me, and you know, she's expressing certain feelings that she would like to express to me at that particular moment. But I'm also seeing the feelings that she doesn't really feel like expressing to me at the moment, you know. And part of the reason why Kim and I are able to do this, and it's not only, you know, me doing it to her, I mean, she does it to me all the time. The reason why we converse so well and why we can talk, you know, as well as we do is because we do have a deeper understanding of one another, and that all came from having open and honest conversations, you know, from the time that we met. You know, so people need to realize that if you're building a relationship, if you're getting into a new relationship, the best way to start is to just be open and honest from the beginning,
you know,
because get to know who that person is, you know, inside and out. I don't even need to call Kim to know what she's feeling at this point, you know. I mean, and nor does she me, you know. It's just one of those things or whatever where we know each other very, very well. And she's not the only friend that I've shared this with. Now, in relationships, on the other hand, I can't say that I've had, you know, as good of communication with any of my relationships as I have with Kim or, you know, a couple of my select friends. And that brings us back to what we were talking about, you know, on several different shows, is that you have to love your mate or the person that you would like to be your soulmate as you would one of your friends.
Right. It'd be a friend first, how you would talk to a very good best friend and be honest. And when your best friend talks to you, you don't freak out when they do something stupid. You don't go, oh, my God, I can't believe they did it. The way you might talk to your husband or your lover. You say, okay, how can we fix this? Or, you know, what can we do about the situation? You're not screaming at them because they're an idiot. It's a different energy that we give our friends. We give them a little more time and space to be human and to make our mistakes. So it's important when we learn to communicate. And the ironic part about it is that all love starts out looking like soulmate love. Everybody starts appearing to be honest, and maybe they are honest, and most people are honest in the beginning, and they do start with good dialogue. And then all of a sudden it starts to shut down over time. And that's the sad part. So if you started out being open and communicative, and now all of a sudden a year has gone by, or 5 years, or 10 years, and you're not communicating with that person, it isn't a failure that you made a mistake. You were able to communicate in the beginning. What the hell happened that made you stop talking? And I know what happened in my marriage, because when I would tell my husband things, he would then later use them against me. So I never would want him to know a weakness or something like that. So sometimes it's someone's response to the way when we were honest. And it is an art of conversation, and it is an art of keeping it alive. So if you're in a relationship and you're finding that you're not really communicating, schedule a time to talk. You know, really say, okay, now what's on your mind? I want to hear it. And then listen. Now,
Okay.
Am I right? I mean, they do start out. I mean, I'm sure.
I'm waiting for Kim to jump in here. She's like not even saying a thing.
My mind is going a million miles. I'm just reflecting back on other relationships, primarily my marriage. And we had great conversations and in the beginning, and most of it was about our past and such like that. But as time had gone on, I found myself growing in a different direction. Whereas he wasn't growing at all. I mean, we actually had this conversation yesterday, and he apologized to me and said, Kim, I really made a mistake in the relationship. And I had said to him, Richard, don't worry about the mistakes that you think that you made, because everything happens for a reason, and I'm in a really happy place in my life right now. And we went on to talk about, you know, what he wanted in a relationship and, you know, going on. And he said, to tell you the truth, Kim, if I was me, I wouldn't want to be with me either. And that was like a real breakthrough, you know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I was like, you should be proud of yourself, because now you have a point to work from.
Right.
To be the best person that you can be.
And now,
and
it's funny how you're communicating to him better now than when you were married.
He's listening more, you know. But also, you know, I give him tons of books to read, and I share my philosophy with him and my spirituality And I think that because he never really came from a spiritual place and he was too focused on what he was doing in our marriage as far as business and work and money, that his spirituality wasn't really developed at all. And whereas mine was moving forward or even in just a different direction, he was staying stagnant. And I think that this happens in a lot of relationships where one person is just kind of living outside the relationship and the other person living as if it always was, and there's no growth in each individual.
Right. So,
and
okay,
I think
so
that is so
growth.
Important
so,
to have individual growth, and that keeps the relationship interesting. That
okay, so
makes
women
the relationship
want
alive.
Evolution. They want to be able to grow within the relationship, and they want their mate to grow. It's important that we continue to grow in a relationship, that we don't have a...
I'm not going to speak for all women because I work in a hair salon and I can't believe what I'm seeing and hearing. I'm really very surprised what the real world has to offer as far as women. Women are not as evolved as I thought they were.
Well,
and I'm so far beyond the point of where these particular women are, and all I hear is, like, well, what do you really want? I want my husband to be honest and pay the bills.
Okay, so honest and pay the bills is okay.
No,
okay,
I mean,
that's one thing that, you know, TJ had brought up to me today. He said a lot of women want the man to pay the bills. That's up there on their list. And I think in this new millennium, if women are asked to also work, because this way we don't stay with a man who's abusive. And we don't stay with a man unless we love him heart, soul, mind, and body. And that includes two women, lesbians together. They shouldn't be staying because one can pay the bills, although... You know, that seems to be up there for some women. A lot of women do want the marriage.
It's prevalent everywhere. You know, I think what winds up happening, I think overall, Cindy, and this is what I was telling Kim earlier, I think at the core of everyone, they want the fairy tale. Otherwise, there would have never been any fairy tales written. I think that guys want the fairy tale. I think that a guy would like to be able to come in and be somebody's Prince Charming. I think that a girl would like to sit there and would like to, you know, meet somebody and want the fairy tale, want that romantic, you know, that romantic love story that we all watch movies about and that we all sit around and cry about, you know. I think everybody wants the fantasy. I think everybody wants the fairy tale. What I think winds up happening is that as we get older and as we're evolving and as we're seeing what the world overall has to offer and what it doesn't have to offer, or rather, not doesn't have to offer, what we don't believe in the natural is tangible in this world. I think that people overall, whether you're evolving or not, I think that they stagnate, and I think that they settle.
People stagnate because they don't want to heal. If you stay in a relationship in which you don't have to grow, you don't.
You know, but I'm not even only talking about on the emotional level. I think that people stagnate because they don't want to try.
Well,
you know, I think that sometimes that they get jaded by the difficulties in life, and they get jaded by what's unpleasant to go through. And you know what? I mean, 5 years ago, if you would have asked me this, I would have had a completely different answer for you. You know, but with the evolution that I'm undergoing
every
day.
Okay, 5 years ago, what would you have wanted?
5 years ago, I would have just wanted security. I would have sacrificed, you know, serenity for security.
Well, a lot
Whereas
of people
today,
trade happiness for security.
Well, you know what? It's now, I would rather be by myself alone for the rest of my life than to settle for anything that's less than what I feel I deserve.
And that shows once we can stand on our own 2 feet, that's when the real, really good relationship comes, because we won't make excuses for abuse. You know, when women keep making excuses for men who are cheating on them and on drugs and alcohol and getting in all kinds of messes, they make so many excuses for that abuse because they can't stand on their own 2 feet. And when you can stand on your own 2 feet.
I'm going to actually bring this up again because I did talk to somebody about this in the recent week. I said, this is the first time in my life that I've been completely single, and it's been, you know, almost, I would say, a good year. And it isn't till that moment when you really spend this much time by yourself, away from all the other influences in your life, that you can really focus on yourself and develop a sense of self outside of a relationship. And, you know, when I became sober the first time 20 years ago, and they said, don't get into any relationships for you, I'm like, that's crazy. Well, I want to be in a relationship. I have to be in a relationship, you know, so to speak. I like being in a relationship. But now I know why. Because you do need to develop a sense of self. And, you know, today somebody said to me, I said, you know, I'm very happy being an independent woman. I'm very happy that I got to know myself after the last year, and I read a lot, and I've met a lot of people, and even the silly little ridiculous dates I go on brings me closer to knowing of what I truly want. And I hate to tell you this, Nicole, but I do desire the fairy tale, and I do believe that I deserve that, and I'm willing to work towards that, and I truly desire romance and all that other
stuff.
Okay,
so
you
want,
you know,
some romance. Women would like,
well, why,
some romance.
Why are you saying that? You hate to tell me that.
No, because, you're,
that,
you know, fairy tale isn't necessarily unattainable as far as I'm concerned.
No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the fact that everybody wants the fairy tale at the core of it, but that people don't believe that they deserve what the fairy
right.
tale
and,
is.
And somebody
said
to me today,
and then they settle.
Somebody to come and rescue you. I said,
oh
yes, I need to be rescued.
Okay, that's,
you know,
from my wonderful life that I have.
Burning house, if I'm in a burning house and I can't get out, then rescue me. Otherwise, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I've heard that from many women in my tarot readings. Well, you know, I'm looking for somebody.
I don't need to be rescued, by the way.
And I said, if you want somebody to rescue you, that's dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a sinking Titanic and you get one chance for one rescue, I put you on dry land and I'm going to run. You're looking for someone who's going to rescue you is only going to end in dysfunction, because then they're going to end up screaming at you and you're going to be their victim. So if you're looking for somebody to rescue you, think again. But you did hit on romance. Women do like romance. And in one of the websites they said women like men to dance with them and to play romantic music for them, and the dinners and the candlelight. They do like romance. And
I think men appreciate that as well.
Right, and that's an important thing. Men and women want romance, and, you know, to be treated as if you're special. Even if you've been with someone for 25 years, you want to feel that you're special. You know, you don't want to feel like, okay, you take me for granted. We don't want to be taken for granted. You know, we want someone to appreciate us, respect us, listen to us, romance us. Those are pretty important things.
You know, and Cindy, as far as me as a person, I have all that to offer. You know, and I laugh and I say, I have so much to offer somebody. So the next person that comes along who is as good as me is going to be a very lucky man.
That's right, because you want to do, and also, okay, what number three on the list was committed to the relationship exclusively and for the long haul.
That would be nice.
I think that's an important thing that, you know, is sort of overlooked, that, you know, without that commitment, it's very hard to put your best foot forward if you're afraid that this is not going to go somewhere. And, you know, so many women want a man who's committed to them for the long haul, and they will tolerate an awful lot of abuse because the man comes home every night, and they're mistaking him coming over home every night for commitment. Commitment is more than you
want. Yeah, well, ladies, I got news for you. Anyway, go on.
You know what I'm saying? Just because they come home every night doesn't mean they're committed to that relationship. And, you know, I think I was pretty naive in many ways before I started doing the tarot card readings in the last 15 years, and especially in the last 3 years. Boy, have I gotten an eye-opening amount of what's going on. And I realized because of the Internet, it makes men much easier for men to contact prostitutes, to go to them, you know, through Craigslist, to, you know, do all kinds of crazy things that I think was a little harder to do in the past. And how much of this is going on, and a woman will say, well, he works hard and he comes home every night. And I'm like, so that means that you're going to tolerate him frequenting prostitutes where he could bring you AIDS or herpes? Or
I actually know a gentleman that says, I do all my playing from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And as long as I am home every night and I pay the bills, that's all I really care about.
And that's a lot of women don't, you know, at first didn't realize their husbands were cheating on them or doing anything because they were home every night at 7 o'clock or 5 o'clock when they were supposed to be home. Didn't realize that a lot of this was taking place, you know, during the working hours. So, again, committed to the relationship exclusively and for the long haul.
Well, the whole thing there, Cindy, is that, yes, somebody could come home to you every single night. Their body could be in the same room as you every single night. Who cares if their body is next to you, if their mind is someplace else?
Exactly. That's not the whole mind-body thing. We know that part.
It's an amazing thing, and I do try to explain this to people. I say, knowing what I know now, nobody could ever truly read your thoughts. And your thoughts are your own personal, private thing. And if you're laying next to a person and you really don't know what their thoughts are, I mean, that's a scary concept. You know, and I use this in a good way, too. I mean, you know, I know a lot of men that go out and cheat and they fall in love, and a lot of women go out and cheat and they fall in love. And I say, well, when you put your head at the end of the night and that person that you think about is in your mind and in your heart and in your soul, and that other person doesn't know, that's just a real scary concept.
Right. Well, that's why we want this whole someone to love us with their entire heart, soul, mind, and body, and commit. Number four was fun, playful, creative. I think fun is something important. We want to have fun in relationships. Sometimes that's why someone schedules an affair or has an affair, because suddenly their mate's not very much fun. They're not having very much fun within the context of the relationship. It seems to be a lot of problems financially, fighting, you know, the children acting up, and suddenly someone needs to have some fun, and they begin to seek it outside the relationship. So I think we can, you know, underestimate how much we all need to have some fun in our lives.
Well, you know, what's funny, Cindy, I mean, even when I was 25 years old, comparatively speaking now, what was fun at 25 isn't necessarily fun today. And I can honestly say, well, with my ex-husband, I wouldn't say he was the most fun person I've ever been with. Although he is a good man, I'm not going to say he's a bad. But our idea of fun was different, you know. His idea with fun was different than mine, and I just did all fun things by myself or with my friends, and he just stayed kind of in his own little world, what he thought was fun. I wanted to be with somebody who did the same fun things that I wanted to do, or at least had the desire to do so.
Okay, so we do want fun. We want someone to respect us. Instead, they also want someone who cares deeply about her needs and thinks about that she may have some needs of her own, and that's an important thing. I think we also need a little time and space alone. That's an important thing. Can't always be, you know, together every moment.
That is so very unhealthy.
Right. There's room for being alone and having some of your own hobbies or things that you need to do, and I think we also need someone to support us in our mission on Earth. You know, if we have a job to do, we need a man who's supportive of it, not who's undermining what we're trying to do.
On the drive home, I was like, you know, I just want somebody to be supportive of my purpose in life.
Oh, so you came to that too.
I am so much for that. You know, I've had people almost kind of giggle at it. Yeah, your purpose in life. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Okay, you're different. But I really truly feel that I have a purpose, and I really do truly feel that I'm different than most of the people that I come across. And I would like somebody to not only be supportive and encouraging, but to have a desire to fulfill a purpose in life as well. It doesn't have to be the same purpose, but any purpose.
I think we have a caller, by the way.
We do have a caller. Hold on just a second, guys. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
So who's the caller?
You're the caller.
I'm the caller. Okay. Has there been a consensus yet as to what women really want from a relationship? Have I missed that?
Okay.
No.
We've come to they want to be respected. They want some fun. They want a man who's going to commit to them.
Honesty, number one.
Honesty was number one. Someone
with no emotions.
Someone who listen and communicate. Do you have anything you could add? And they want someone to be romancing them. That's important. Do you have any ideas on this yourself?
What do you mean by romancing them?
Well, romancing is something that you can take them to dinner or dance with them.
Somebody who has a creative imagination.
And what do you girls bring to the table?
Well, hopefully we bring some romance as well.
I see where this is going.
Well, we're hoping we do the same thing for men.
Guys, I'm not in the room with Tim tonight, so be careful.
I really don't want to get into what I bring into the table, but I think I'm a pretty good package overall. So,
okay,
honesty, romance, commitment.
Well, I mean, everybody
wants
all of those things. Those aren't new. Men want them. Women want them.
I agree.
But men and women have to bring their individual selves and some of their baggage to the relationship. And it's nice to know what women want. We all know what women want. We all know what men want. So what is it that, women bring to the table to inspire a man to say, you know what, I think I'm going to pursue you and encourage you in your purpose and dance with you and have fun with you?
Initially?
Okay, well,
yeah.
I think that there definitely has to be, and I'm going to be totally straight up with you, Mr. whatever your name is. I think there has to be a physical attraction right off the bat. I mean, for me personally, initially, to have, you know, you don't have to be, you know, Mr. Universe or anything, but there does have to be a physical attraction. And beyond that, some sort of chemistry and intellectual attraction for me.
Well, that's for us, for all women, okay?
Not necessarily.
But as we were saying in the beginning of the show that...
No,
if you want honesty,
that's not all women.
And if you want romance,
sure.
And if you want someone to do that, you would have to do it as well. Whatever thing we're asking for in a man, we would hope to be bringing to the table as well, that we're being honest and we're listening and we're being respectful and we're being your best friend as well. You know, we're hopefully bringing the same things to you. What I'm finding as a relationship coach is oftentimes one person is trying to be honest and working on the relationship, and it could be the man, it could be the woman, and the other person is really taking it for granted and not healing their addictions or not doing anything to better the relationship.
Or themselves.
That's where there's a problem. You know, it does take two people to make that relationship work, and one person can't do all the work. One person can't be the one who's being loyal while somebody else isn't. One person can't be trying to have fun when the other one's just miserable and doesn't want to have fun.
Well, when one person is the only one doing it, Cindy, whether you have that little piece of paper that says that you're married or not, it's called being single.
So, you know,
I'm sorry, sir, what was your name?
I didn't give my name.
Just a first name.
Joe. Or
you can even, Joe?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Basically, are you in a relationship? Can I ask you that?
Yeah, you can ask. No, I'm not in a relationship.
Okay. And are you looking to be in one?
If I find one that meets my criteria, I jump into it with both feet.
Okay, that's the answer we want to hear. A man who would jump in with both feet when the person's ready, because that was really big on the list for women, a man who would want to commit to the relationship. And it does take putting two feet in it, not one foot in and one foot out the door. And relationships are complex because we do bring our own baggage, our own insecurities, our unhealed issues, as well as the good things with us. So hopefully we're looking for a person who brings out the best in us. You know, some people do bring out the best in us, others don't. And, you know, if you're in a relationship where a person's not bringing out the best in you, either you try to see how you can be a better you, or perhaps it's not the right person for you, or you have some issues that have to be worked on. But as far as what else we want, does anybody have anything else that they would want?
A sense of humor, absolutely.
A sense of humor is definitely on the list. A sense of humor goes a long way.
Well, you know what? There are a lot of men who have a sense of humor who make women laugh. I don't find a lot of women with a sense of humor. I find them laughing, but I don't find them making me laugh. They don't really have a proactive sense of humor.
Well, obviously you don't know me, Joe.
Or me.
I'm very funny.
Anyway, we have another caller, and I think it might be someone who could add some insight into what a woman brings to a relationship.
Oh, okay, that would be good.
Okay, it is a man, and I know who he is.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Well, how are you all?
Hello,
right?
TJ, help us out here.
Well, first of all, I just think, sort of...
Tell us what women want, TJ.
Yes, I know what the show's about. I've been listening, actually.
Yes,
I think, I listen to, instead of saying fun. I thought the word should have been joy, because fun is one thing and joy is something else. But anyway, going back to it all, you know, I just think that you don't bring anything to the table. I think it either works or it doesn't. And when I mean it works, it's not work. It's just naturally a fit. And I think that you have to be interested in the person you're with and find the person interesting.
I agree.
And I think the other thing is you have to you have to take the person seriously and realize the person's serious in life.
Joe was saying that he doesn't find many women who make him laugh. And, you know, TJ is my soulmate. TJ, do I make you laugh?
Well, I mean, I know a lot of women who are just, you know, really funny. And, I mean, I don't know. I think you just have to be able to mentally think of a woman as a person and not a woman or a, you know what I mean? And understand, you know, I have daughters, and because I had daughters, I think I accept women as, you know, as equal. You know, I just accept them seriously, and I take them seriously, and therefore there's no...
Well, yeah, well, there's a problem with all that. You have very rudimentary precepts, which are fine, but how come the divorce rate is around 76%?
No, it's 43%, actually. The latest was 43%.
Only for second marriages it's 76%, in case you're interested. But the truth of the matter is, I really say that who truly knows why the divorce rate is what it is. But, you know, I'm not talking about the divorce rate. We're talking about what a woman wants. And I think basically...
They don't want a divorce.
No, they definitely don't.
They truly want a divorce, actually. It really depends. I think a lot of them truly want a divorce and can't afford one, and they're like prisoners in a bad relationship because...
I would have to agree with you on that, TJ, because I experienced
I
that mostly than not.
Like I said, is that I think what most everyone wants is to have someone that they can be themselves with and shine. And and I think that's a good place to be in life. And if you can't, I don't know if you can find it. I think it just sort of happens, and you just have to be attentive to when it passes you by.
And that's exactly it. Someone you can be yourself with and feel comfortable
with. And shine,
with.
You know. Someone who makes you shine, makes you... Like, if you were, in a sport...
But two narcissists are not going to get along.
It's what?
I said two narcissists are not going to get along.
Well,
sometimes they get along supremely if they don't realize each one's a narcissist because they're busy being narcissists.
I don't think that what he's saying has anything to do with narcissism. I mean, I think that the divorce rate is as high as it is, quite honestly, not so much because people's perceptions of love are any different. I think it's because divorce is easier now. People are learning now that there is much better out there. People are learning now that they're jumping into relationships way too soon. They're evolving way beyond what your parents had ever taught you could evolve beyond, okay? And you want different things, and there's nothing wrong with wanting different things. But divorce has become easy. Divorce has become something that lawyers make money at, that the economy absolutely loves, okay? And that everything from books to TV to movies capitalize on. Okay,
in order to increase the economy. If it is easy, but why do people take the easy road out?
Well, being a divorcee two times, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
When I got married the first time at 21 years old, I certainly didn't know what the heck I was doing, and I was way too young to do so. And the second time I got married, yes, it was going to be for life, and then we just stopped believing in the same things, and I thought that I deserved better. And I did give it a 3-year chance to grow and get better and really try my all, but when one person's trying and one person's not, I made the decision that I want the second half of my life to be with somebody that brings me great joy, and as TJ said, the light of my life that makes me shine.
And, of course, divorce is something that probably throughout the millenniums, and, you know, the hundreds of years, people would have divorced more if they could. If they could afford to, if women could have supported themselves. I don't think the statistics are any different than perhaps 43% of marriages.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay. It's really interesting. Like, in my lifetime, I'm 56 years old. Years back, someone worked for a company like IBM for 30, 40 years, retired and got a gold watch, and now they cut them loose in 7 years. I think there's a correlation between the instability of job markets and life itself and the divorce rate being higher, and because
there's
just more instability all the way around in the way society's set up. It isn't as structured.
Loyalty is a little bit different than it was and in the past.
Right.
Well, that also can actually tie back, TJ, to if there's instability there, let's face it, there are a lot of women that I know out there that view their mates as nothing more than a paycheck. They're not in love. They stay because of security, and they sacrifice their own serenity and their own love and their own desire for love for the security of it. So guess what? That inadvertently means that if a man's job security in this economy is not exactly there and that the woman is not going to be secure and stay for the paycheck, then why is she going to stay at all if that's all there was to begin with?
Right, and again...
All right, well, I was just thinking that could be part of the divorce.
Do you feel strongly about that?
I'm glad you voiced it that way. That's the way I was thinking.
Okay, so again, we're back to what people want. One of the things was they want someone who's responsible financially and professionally, and I think that goes for both men and women. Marriage is a business partnership, and both people have to be fiscally responsible. Because, you know, one person who's got an addiction
shallow.
Or a spendaholic is going to really...
Well, marriage is a business partnership.
The business,
and if one person is charging $100,000 on credit cards and the other one doesn't know...
If you don't think it's a business arrangement and your partner doesn't pay the taxes and you sign that tax statement, you're going to jail with your partner. So
it's a business relationship at the get-go. It doesn't.
You haven't listened to our show. Holy matchmoney.
Well, I don't know if I've called in before, but the woman who gave her last opinion there about people hanging on to a marriage because of money.
That's Nicole.
Nicole,
yeah.
Did you ever give your boyfriend
I'm gay, honey, so it would be my girlfriend.
Huh?
I said, I'm gay, honey, so it would be my girlfriend. But continue.
Oh, okay. No, then it wasn't you. All right.
Okay. So, again, being that true holy matrimony is two people who love each other, heart, soul, mind, and body. But if you sign that piece of paper, it is then a business arrangement. And people have to be responsible business-wise because your partner puts you in great financial debt or strain.
And I am a testament to that.
And I am, too. And I called it fiscal infidelity. If you don't have a good business partner, you're going to go bankrupt whether you've been working like a dog for 20 years and your partner's been gambling or spending. You're going bankrupt, and it's one of those things that being responsible financially, growing up and understanding, you know, the value of a dollar is important, because that puts a lot of stress on a marriage if two people cannot be, you know, on the financially same page. So it is something that, you know, if it's not important to you, that's great. Then if you don't care about that, then, you know, if you marry a person who spends all your money and puts you into debt, I don't know how happy you're going to be.
Not very happy. But we all recover. We do recover.
Okay, so basically what we've learned so far is that women like men who are also respectful of us, but and that includes a little bit politeness, that it helps when a man is polite and saying please and thank you and thanking us, and just as I think a man likes to be thanked for the things he does. I do like when TJ tells me thank you for the dinner or thank you for that. I mean, we don't have to do these things. We don't have to make dinner. We don't have to do anything. And
I would just like to point out that you can use manners, people, even if you're not involved in a relationship. Manners are very, very big. And if you want somebody to treat you with manners and with respect, you need to treat everybody with manners and respect. That means saying please and thank you to an attendant in a bathroom.
That's true. There was another one. They said
they
women like men to make us feel safe at night and to be with us during the night. Women do like that a man is there for them. And I'm sure, Nicole, you're probably make any woman who sleeps beside you feel pretty safe. You beat the hell out of anybody.
You want to know what's actually kind of funny about that is that, like, I'm small. You know, I'm not like this, like, big girl, you know. I'm small. You know, I'm all of, like,
I wouldn't want to mud wrestle with you.
You know what? You wouldn't want to mud wrestle with me. What's hysterical is that one night, me and Kim decided that we're going to be really, really, you know, we're going to be tough and we're going to watch some, like, scary movies and stuff like that. And at the end of the night, I'm like, great, I got to go home. And even Kim turned around. She's like, well, do you want to have a sleepover? Because I don't want to be by myself.
All right, so we want
to. You know
somebody...
what, Cindy, it, from what I can recall, which it has been, oh, my God, is it almost 2 years since I slept in bed with a man?
Well, can we put that on the list? Do we want a man who's a good lover?
Absolutely. That is right, very high up on my
list. Oh, no.
Okay, but we didn't mention it.
I'd have to go.
I was thinking
I
it.
I want a man that's a good lover.
I was thinking it. I am dumbfounded. I can't even speak right now.
That's just because you're
very...
scared to think about sex right now.
Yeah, well.
Okay, all right. So we want someone to make love to us.
I think it's very important that somebody is attentive and asks you what you like and wants and has the desire to fulfill those desires. I think that is so important. And although I probably only had that one time in my life, I honestly can say that I really didn't have a whole lot of that at my age.
Okay, so that's on the top of a list, a good lover. They also said in this list that they want men to be good fathers. So, I mean, that's probably very important for someone that you're marrying and having children with, that they're good fathers, that they're supportive of the children. And I can understand that being an important thing.
Thank you for saying that, Cindy, because I think that it's also very, very important to say, father to the children.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look for somebody who is going to be an extension of your own parent and somebody who is going to baby you and be a father to you within a relationship or a mother to you within a relationship at that. Don't look just for somebody who's going to be the caretaker, the nurturer, and act as a parent.
I do have to agree with that. And when I do go out with somebody, one of the first things I ask are, do you see your children? And if they say no, not a whole lot, guess what? Definitely.
And what the hell are you doing with what the hell is he doing with you?
Exactly.
Okay, so we want men to want to be fathers if we're going to be a woman who wants to have children. That's an important thing. So we're gonna try to go back to the top a little bit. Honesty seemed to be the number one thing. We want them to be honest. We want them to be committed to the relationship. We want them to be respectful and polite. We want them to be responsible financially. We want them to care about our needs. We want them to communicate with us and listen. And I think those are pretty important things. And as a man, we still have TJ on the line. Are those some of the same things that you would want, someone to listen to you and someone to be polite and respectful and fun and all the things that we've listed.
Right.
TJ, you still
supportive,
there?
Supportive, right?
Supportive.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm supportive, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, people need someone to kick thoughts off when they have to make a decision, like a business decision or whatever. They need someone to take in confidence to lay it all out there and kick their opinion around and someone is rooting for them to succeed and therefore give them they trust the advice they're going to get because of course the decision is always the individual, but it's always good to have someone who will, you know, help you, you know, come to a big decision when you have to make them for career-wise, business-wise, even buying a car, for God's sakes. But, I mean, you know, that's important, I think, to have someone who you can confide in when it's decision-making time. Because,
and you can trust that there's not going to be their own personal agenda for you, because sometimes mates don't necessarily do what's best for you. They do what's best for them. So it's nice to have a partner who really knows your needs. And even if it's something that you might want to do that your partner might not agree with, but they know it's best for your career or for your growth, that's important.
Especially if they go to the website grantmeahigherlove.com and vote for...
He's telling them to vote for me.
best psychic on Long Island at grantmeahigherlove.com. It's always something along those lines. I had to plug that in there one more lot.
We're trying to get those votes in. So far, my clients have been
really...
When does
that end, by the way? When is the last day to vote?
December 15th.
Oh, so we only have...
This is a long, you know, drawn-out thing that goes on for quite some time. So we have about 5 minutes left.
Okay,
I'm going to let you all sum up. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you, TJ.
And eventually we'll have a Christmas eggnog if they still have I haven't had one in a long time, so it'd be fun.
We'll have virgin
one.
We'll have a virgin one. I do have to add one more thing. As far as myself personally in a relationship, I would like to be proud of the person I'm with, and I would like for someone to be proud to be with me.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
I don't want to be somebody's best-kept secret. I don't want somebody to be a secret in my life. I just want to be able to shout it to the world, and I want somebody who wants to be with me, who wants to shout it to the world and feel all the love they have for me, body, heart, soul, and mind.
And that's very important, that our mates are proud of us and that they can... Soulmate love, of course, has to be a beacon of light for the world to see. It can't be hidden behind closed doors. Nicole is a lesbian. Can you give us some insight into what women want? Because I think if anybody, you know more than any of us.
Well,
I only know what I want. I don't know what the whole spectrum of women want.
Yeah, Nicole, tell us.
Oh, I hear that sarcasm in you, Kim. Basically, in a nutshell, I think that you need to know who you are. And I say this almost on every show because I cannot stress the importance of it enough. You need to go through your own self-exploration. You need to know you. And then you need to figure out what you want and what you don't want. What I think women want, I think that they want the fairy tale. I think that they want to be adored. I think that they want honesty. They want compassion. They want sensitivity. They want someone who's going to look at them every day and thank God that person is in their lives. You know, I think that I want to look at a woman every single day and say, you know what, I've done everything now. Once I get to look at that person and once I get to see that person and once I get to tell the world that this is a person that I want to be with, that I'm choosing to be with for no other reason, not for any amount of money, not for any amount of job security, not for any other reason other than the way that I feel when I'm with them and the way that I feel about them. And I think that everybody wants to be adored that way, both men and women. I don't think that it's gender specific, you know, and I think that the best way to get that, I mean, is to just know yourself and be that yourself, because the law of attraction, it works, people. And if you want that, be that, and you'll get that. If you're getting something else, then maybe there's a signal that you're putting out there that not even you're aware of, which is where your own self-exploration comes in.
That's very, very true. And all of us have to work at being the best person we can be so that we bring that good energy to the relationship. And
Positive energy is a very important thing.
That's something we didn't stress enough. And actually, TJ had said it last night. I asked him, you know, what do you think that I want from you? And he said, you want to be surrounded by positive energy because you work so hard and you're tired. And you don't need any hassle. You don't want anybody to hassle you and bother you because you already hear enough all day long. And it's true. I really need someone to surround me with positive energy. And a person who's easygoing and happy and giving us that positive energy really helps us through life. Life is hard enough without someone, you know, being miserable and raining on our parade all day long.
Oh, boy.
So for me, the positive energy is probably the most important thing that I need. I don't need very much from a man. I don't need his, you know, financial support. I don't need a lot of things that other women might need, but I certainly need someone who's there to hug me, recharge my battery, and be positive. And, you know, that's the most important thing for me personally.
And, you know, most of all, I think that everybody just desires to have love in its purest form. And I think that's what I'm striving for, and that's what I have to offer. So, God, please.
Any shout-outs? Don't forget to come to the book review if you can.
Actually, you know what? I'll have a shout-out tonight.
Okay.
My shout-out tonight is actually to TJ, because I believe that Joe, when he was on the line, had said that TJ's outlook on love was a little rudimentary, I believe is the word that he used. You know what? I want to remind everybody that we as a human race have been the ones to complicate love. Love is not complicated.
It's simple.
Okay? It is very, very simple. So there's nothing rudimentary about any of those feelings, because you know what? Love shouldn't have to be complicated.
No, it isn't. That's actually neuroses makes everything complicated.
Thank you,
love
Nicole.
Simple.
You're welcome.
And, of course, we're looking forward to next week. I mean, I'm not sure what topic we'll be doing, but maybe Nicole or Kim has one.
Mm.
And, you know, you guys can let me know if there's something that you want to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Or otherwise, I will tell you what topic we'll be doing.
And I love you all, and thank you for listening and giving your honest feedback. I appreciate that.
Okay. That will be great, and we'll all speak next week. Have a great week.
Bye.
Have a great week. Goodbye.